This show is brought to you by Tee It Up for the Troops. Divots can be replaced. Freedom cannot. Portions of this program may not be suitable for those under the age of 18. Parental guidance is suggested, but not mandatory.
Ladies and gentlemen, here it is. The most listened to radio show on the planet. Even the other stations are tuned in too.
I don't care if it sounds crazy and has a brain injury. He is funny.
We're definitely in support of those that serve.
Rock has two words of advice for you. Simply put, get ready.
There's a lot of nonprofit organizations out there.
I've seen a lot of stuff in my life, but that was awesome.
You ain't seen nothing yet.
Business can make dreams come true.
The H-Train Show.
The H-Train Show.
On your butt.
Ladies, there we go. Ladies and gentlemen, it is that time. It is, I'm doing the camera and everything today. Unfortunately, DJ couldn't come in due to the weather and him working, but broadcasting from the Colorado Media School here in the Belfort area, colorful Colorado. It's another episode of the H Train Show. We're here. Our veterans and all of our men and women in uniform. I'm trying to get in so people can see me. And yeah, we didn't think about that, did we, guys? We're here to show all the men and women in uniform all over the world that there are more programs out there beyond the VA. My name is H-Train, and everybody knows Smitty, but our guest vet blast from the past, from the old Beer 30 days, ladies and gentlemen, Sniper!
Thank you.
And as of course, everybody, thank you so much for riding with us. Look at that. I'm a one-man show.
You really are.
One-man show. That's what my wife tells me all the time, too. I'm a one-man show. Before I go through, we're not going to put her on camera because I don't think she wants to be on camera because she didn't show her hair or whatever. But we have a brand new producer that is going to be here every single Monday. And she just makes sure that, you know, the sound quality is good. She makes sure that everybody can hear us. And if you have any issues, she'll get on there and she'll be the administrator. This is really embarrassing, but I can't pronounce your last name. Is it a Pete?
It's Opdyke.
Okay.
Opdyke. It didn't seem that crazy to spell or pronounce.
It doesn't matter. But, ladies and gentlemen, Amanda Opdyke, she is our new producer. She's our new station manager. She's going to be learning the ropes. She's going to be my new right side woman.
There you go.
And, you know, the interesting thing about this is not only is she a veteran, but she was Coast Guard as well. And Air Force, yes. But I'm highlighting the Coast Guard part of it, though. That's what I'm doing. Why? Because, you know, trying to...
I'll just say one thing about the Coast Guard. Recently, they had a cool, super cool moto video come out about one Coastie jumping onto a submarine somewhere and pounding on the top of the submarine. Super cool moment.
for them right there, I think.
Well, that was awesome. What I was getting ready to say is finding somebody that was attached to Coast Guards, because it's such a small group, is like trying to find a little person on St. Patty's Day.
True that.
You know?
I thought it would be pretty easy to find this.
No, it's like, there's like a news flash.
You always got a little, St. Patty's
Day. St. Patty's Day is this day. Okay, don't go out to the bars because they're going to try to like lift you up and stuff like that, you know. Everybody always wants to mess with a little person when it's St. Patty's Day.
As long as they get tips.
But they don't get tips, that's just it.
I bet they do, if they're smart.
I would. That's what I'd do. Be like, throw a little person and pay $20 or something. Like,
oh yeah,
like, I don't
totally
know.
Down.
You know what I've always wanted?
They have a sense of humor.
They do.
Oh, I bet they do. Well, you know, the thing that I was gonna say is, you know, what I've always wanted, and you guys might laugh at me about this,
probably,
but I've always wanted to go to like a midget strip club.
A little person.
That'd be so like, I don't want to say it'd be so funny, but it would definitely be an out of the world experience.
It would be entertaining, to say the least.
It would be.
I mean, yeah.
You know,
like, how do you get, like, do you know what's weird to me? Like, trying to give high fives to a little person, because you have to, like, go about it all kind of, like, weird because they're so small. But, I mean, yeah, I love little people. Little people rule. Like, they're talented. Like,
they got advantages.
They do. They yeah. really do. And I'm just like, man, I don't know. Like, I think, like, Wee Man, like, he's one of the coolest little people out there.
Oh, yeah.
And
I even forgot about that.
How like, there's no way I could ever forget about Wee Man.
What's the proper name for it? Because I know it is.
Little people.
Is it little person?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, my producer's giving me that stare like my wife gives me.
Yeah.
Okay. So. Yep.
She's burning through your soul.
Yeah, so we'll move on. Evidently, I'm crossing the boundary. Don't mean to offend anybody, but anyways, I don't even really know how we got. Anyways, so
it's the TBI, bro.
It's the TBI.
I get it,
ladies and gentlemen. I have TBI, no filter. But so Amanda has joined forces with us, and we're really excited, and I've already got the stare, and we haven't even been on the air for 2 minutes yet. So
putting the law down quick.
Yes, yeah. Yes, she is. Okay, so this is the thing that really. So we got a movie invite this week. And we're going to be doing a movie review on Wednesday on a movie that's very popular that Smitty wants to see.
But I have to work. But
Smitty has to work. So now I have that one ticket available, the Birds of Prey.
Ooh,
yes. Super unfortunate that
so,
I have to work.
Now
I'm really sad about that.
Now you have the really opportunity, sad. Mike or Snipe, if you want to be a part of that.
And what time is that?
We gotta get there at 5.
Oh yeah.
But the movie's like at 7. And if you didn't know, I'm just checking some things because last week, like, the audio is horrible, so. What I plan on doing was while we're running the show at home, I'm remoting in and I'm recording the show so that I'm recording the show so that if something doesn't go right here, it'll go right at the house. But the only bad thing is I didn't hit record at first start of the show, so let's hope there's nothing bad about it. But we got a great show for you guys. We'll just go through it real quick. Today's interview of the week is Southern Crescent Veterans Services. Today's event is Anything Is Possible with the legendary Smitty. And the tribute to the troops is Miguel Villana. And I'm sure that I mispronounced that, but you know what? Sometimes it's the thought that counts, you know?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's pronounced Violon.
Violon?
Violon.
Okay.
The All L's right. are silent besides the third one.
Okay. All right. I'll buy that. And today, I want to give away some prizes.
Oh,
I want to give them some prizes. We're going to give three prizes during the show. We're going to do the famous red t-shirt. We're going to do a gift card to Dave and Buster's. And the third one is a date with our new producer. I'm just teasing. I'm so teasing. She's... That's
She's
the second glare.
She's going to strangle you now.
Yeah.
She's about to come on
there. Now you know what Brandy had to deal with.
She might be on video now.
With just hands reaching across the screen.
Yep, there we go. There we go.
Yes. But we have a great show for you guys planned. Now, the third thing we're going to do as a grand prize kind of thing is... If you win it, it's kind of a surprise gift. But basically, if you want NBR to conduct a birthday or a wedding DJ service for 3 hours, we're going to give you that package for absolutely nothing. So that's what we're going to do. So you got to listen to be able to qualify. That's the only problem on that. So tell us tonight, before we go on a music break, what have you been up to? You've been gone for so long, and you know I was doing some schoolwork here the other day teaching, and all of a sudden, Sniper comes over, and I'm like, oh boy,
yeah,
it's been a while.
Yeah, it has. Honestly, you know, going through a divorce. Still polishing that off, but, you know, went to school to learn how to build houses, and then I finally came to the media school to finish off my film.
And how's that film going?
Oh, it's amazing. I love Film Emphasis. It makes me feel at home.
And you saw this room before we did work. Now that you're here and you see everything, what do you think of the room? We've been kind of did some TLC to it?
Yeah, it looks a lot better.
I thought so too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I thought so too. Now, I don't know. I haven't heard the video or the stream yet, and we're still working on it. But before we got on the air, it was kind of an echo or whatever. We think that we got that solved.
Sounds good.
Okay. All right. Perfect. Well, this is what we're going to do. We are going to go on our first music break. I'm going to let you take us to a music break, Smitty. And from there, we'll start the
interview of the week.
Yeah, kind of thing. So,
all right, we're going on a music break. When we come back, we're going to be interviewing Southern Crescent Veterans Services. So stay with us. Don't go away. You're listening to the A-Train Show.
Oh, you know what? We gotta do that again. We're doing Anything Possible.
Oh, we're going.
That's what we're doing.
All right, we're going to Anything Possible right after the music break. So stay with us.
There you go. Don't go away, everybody. The show that highlights all the nonprofit programs out there beyond the VA. The H-Train Show.
Hey, I'm Brett D'Alessandro, and I'm the founder of Backpacks to Life, and you're listening to The H-Train Show.
All right, and we are back. You're listening to the show that highlights all the nonprofit programs out there beyond the VA. You're listening to the H-Train Show. And I'm going to turn my mic down a little bit because I think I'm a little super loud. So, and...
That's nothing new.
There we go. Yeah, nothing new at all. Nothing new at all. So, if you're just joining us, remember you can stream live via Facebook, Twitch, YouTube, all those good places, and you'll see our bright, shiny face. But, ladies and gentlemen, it is that time, and I have the question.
Let's hear what you got today.
And
because I got a feel good thing about dogs.
Yeah,
a little feel good piece of news.
Well, let's hear the segment. And then let's get into it.
And now it's time to believe anything is possible with Smitty.
Okay, there we go. All right, and we're back. Too easy. And that was Smitty with that new Anything Dog Possible video.
Always,
was pretty good.
Always improving.
That was
always
pretty improving. Good. That was pretty good. All right. Well, here's the question from Eileen Sanchez. Eileen Sanchez says, so many times I go out on walks with my dog, and I have a hard time of keeping the dog from pestering with other dogs, especially service dogs. How can I do my part in fixing this? Thanks, Eileen Smitty.
Thanks, Eileen, for your question today. So, leash training, it sounds a lot like leash training to me. Or just the basic commands in general. Most of the times you want your dog in a position of calmness, like a sit or a down position. If your dog's not doing anything or you're not doing anything with your dog, you just want him to be nice and calm and just sitting there and not messing with anybody or anything else. You just want your dog to sit down or lay down and just kind of relax, not have to worry about them trying to pull you all over the place. If you're just trying to stand there to have a conversation with somebody, or if your dog's trying to pull and go and greet other dogs when you don't want them to. So first off, just basic obedience. Work on the sit command, work on the down command a lot, just so that they can sit or down while you are just standing in one spot. But if you're out for a walk, working on leash drills, getting working with your dog to not get to the end of your leash is simply that. Just working on correcting your dog every time it gets to the end of the leash and starts pulling, because you never want your dog to pull hard on the collar, because it's just never a good thing. It just causes that problem to get worse. So what I like to do with leash training is I like to confuse the dog sometimes,
yeah.
But for the most part, just going kind of back and forth. Do this a couple of different ways, depending on what kind of collar you have on your dog. If you have a flat collar on, just a normal collar that doesn't, contract or anything, doesn't go to any other size, just you clip it on and it's just there. Those aren't really good for stopping leash pulling and working on the basic obedience. So what I would recommend is a pinch collar or an e-collar.
Because, we kind of talked about the pinch collar last week.
Yep. So the pinch collars and the e-collars, again, there's a lot of bad propaganda out there, I guess I'll say, with people not liking pinch collars and e-collars.
Well, could it be propaganda, or could it be that, you know, unless you
people
know
are just uneducated about the tool.
Well, what I was going to say is unless you know what you're doing, because yeah. I mean, but I, even with collars, even with muzzles, I think if you don't really know what you're doing and you put that on a dog.
And you have a bad reaction. Yeah, totally. So I've actually seen that before. Someone puts a pinch collar on their dog because it's probably the most commonly misused tools out on the market today. It looks dangerous. It looks scary.
Right.
But if you use it the wrong way, you're going to have a bad time with it no matter what. So you kind of have to work through it just a little slow at first, but eventually your dog will become conditioned to that tool, and it'll be like anything else. So with that, I don't recommend just buying a pinch collar and trying it yourself for the first time. I would definitely consult a trainer of your choosing, preferably of the European dog sports or police or military or personal protection kind of trainers like that. And then you just have to work on getting your dog to the end of the leash and then recalling him every single time, work on the recall. But then every once in a while, sometimes you just have to dive really hard into it and just start making kind of fast. Take your dog for a walk. Probably the best thing anybody can do for their dog is just take them for a walk. Take them for a walk and just start making direction changes. You don't even have to say anything to your dog. Because if your dog is going one way and you go the other way, your dog is going to feel it with the pinch collar. It's okay. Kind of a silent tool. You can use it as sometimes, but you really want to incorporate the command in there. Or I usually don't even give a command for pulling on the leash. It's just kind of an unwanted behavior that I don't really want to talk about much. Or not talk about much, but kind of overemphasize with the dog. So I just kind of make a lot of turns and everything, and every time the dog gets to the end of it, they're going to feel a little slight correction.
Okay.
And then they're going to follow me back, and as soon as they're right by my side or I get their attention again, then they'll get some kind of reward for recalling to me and then sitting for me, downing for me, whatever I ask them to do at that point, or just healing next to me. When they get done and you keep on walking, your dog is probably going to come to one of your sides, and then at that point you would want to give them a little treat or some love to kind of reinforce you want them right next to you rather than going away from you.
And you know, we're just going to reemphasize, I'm going to type in here, that's probably what I can teach our producer how to do it so that she can do it for next show. But if you have, well, we can try that. If you have any questions whatsoever for Smitty, go ahead and send us. Yeah, I know. I'll do it. It's kind of awkward positioning, but I'll say it here and then I'll type it out because I can't do two things at once. Imagine that. Hey, if you have any questions concerning dogs, maybe it's not training. Maybe it's hey, what's the best treat for the dog? What's the best bed for the dog? Feeding it overfill or what do they call it? Free feed? Free feed or scheduled feed? Yeah. Some of these
never
questions.
Free feed.
Ask. That's what Smitty is, you know, he's getting paid the big bucks here for.
Yeah. Paid
so
the big bucks.
we got to take advantage.
Now, I don't know everything, people. I'm not a veterinarian. I actually almost went to vet school, but I chose to come to media school instead. So yeah, there's that. I got a lot of friends, who are vets, veterinarians. So, shout out to them because they have a super hard job, and I definitely respect the veterinarians out there. But, so that feel good piece of news, just to fill a little time right here. After the Super Bowl, Chiefs player pays fee for all dogs at Kansas City shelter to celebrate the Super Bowl.
I thought that was pretty
awesome. And then there was another woman who, after 3 years, I believe it said, reunites with her dog after finding it on finding the picture of her dog on the on a can of beer. So there's a company, shout out to them. Let me go and find that real quick.
Yeah, that sounds like an episode of Friends, you know, where you know what I'm talking about, right, Snipe? He lost his monkey, Marcel, and then he sees this beer commercial and finds out that the zoo that he donated the monkey to, they
put him on a commercial.
Put him in a commercial, nice. And the zoo got that. Yeah, I know. My wife tells me to. I watch too much Friends.
Yeah. So check this out. Motorworks Brewing Company of Bradenton, Florida, puts pictures of shelter dogs on their cans of beer to promote them and to get them adopted.
That's awesome.
That's a pretty cool little promotional piece for a company right there. I like that.
Say the beer company again.
The Motorworks Brewing Company.
Motorworks
out of Bradenton, Florida.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Now, it would be nice if Coors could do something like that. You know?
That would be.
Who cares if you can see the mountain blue? Let's put a dog there.
Yeah.
You know? Something.
Get dogs on the back of the can to hopefully build some awareness and get them adopted. That would be pretty awesome. Hopefully the dogs got adopted before the cans went out of date.
Right.
Yeah, that's true.
But I'm sure the cans last for quite a while.
I don't think cans expire.
They do eventually. I'm pretty sure. Eventually.
Do they?
Probably like a couple of years. I'm assuming.
We were cleaning,
maybe I'm assuming though. So
we
I'm,
was cleaning
I'm not sure.
out the pantry the other day, and we I got this king. Good, I forget what it was, but it said that it was good until 2055.
Doesn't that scare you a little bit?
And then my wife's like, throw it away.
Yeah.
Don't even keep it. Throw it away. So my wife is one of those people that, you know, if it says it expires, you know, and less than 5 years is good.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
If it doesn't, then... we'll keep it. But so I'm looking here. I think we got some comments. And we don't. Okay.
Nice try, buddy. Nice try.
Almost.
Right? Snipe, you have dogs, don't you?
I have one, yeah.
What kind of dog you got, man?
A golden lab.
A golden lab. Love him.
He is a big monster.
Yeah?
Like, yeah. I took him to training, you know, and did the basic stuff with him. But trying to get that dog from jumping up is a test of every patient's nerve I have in me.
If I told you it could take less than 5 minutes to be solved forever, would you believe me?
Probably, because, I mean, literally what I've tried to do is I try to build a command with him, because I know going off of a command, you know, is better than letting the dog just...
kind of be a dog.
Be a dog, yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. But he's also 110 pounds. Of
there is that.
Big monster.
So there, you have a big jumping problem.
Yeah.
Because he is not a small dog.
Exactly.
What kind of tools do you use with him?
Honestly, mostly the treats. So every time he does something he's supposed to, he'll get a treat. So
okay.
The positive reinforcement.
Yep.
But if he jumps up, then I hold it, and he knows I have the treat, but he can't have it until he gets down.
Yep, okay.
So,
with jumping, I'm like just flat out not a fan, you know?
Yeah.
For the most part. I mean, granted, there's some situations where you can allow the dogs to jump once they're okay. And, like, I'm horrible. I let my dogs get away with murder, and he's a chihuahua, so it's really bad. But he jumps on my leg and it's like, he's a crazy little guy. But, stopping jumping of a dog that large can be a test. Cause like I have a 115 pound Cane Corso or Mastiff and,
yeah.
I will not allow him to jump, because if he jumps on somebody, or if he jumps, like if a dog jumps on a kid and paws a kid in the face and does damage of any amount, it's going to be a lawsuit, you know?
Yeah. Right?
So, like, that's a huge issue. I want to help people not have that happen. So I take, like, it's a zero tolerance policy for jumping, really. And there's really, for me personally, I don't really use any positive reinforcement when it comes to jumping. I literally just have one command, which I use just off. You can pretty much use any word you want.
Yeah.
I mean, you can use bananas if you wanted. But I make it very known that the dog can, their paws should never leave the ground.
Yeah.
So, don't worry, I'll have one for you later, too.
Yeah, I'm sure.
So, with that, I will, sometimes I will entice the dog to jump, and then I will correct it out of him that way.
Yeah.
So, when I'll literally have the dog be like, hey, buddy, what are you doing? Off.
Yeah.
And then I just stop what I'm doing, kind of reset the scenario. And then I'll try it again. Hey, buddy, you want to come up here? Off. And it's just really stern. There's not much positivity about it. But when you correct the dog, so another thing I like to talk about is when I correct a dog for anything, I like to go right back into something positive to kind of get their mind off of that harsh correction. So with, like, with stopping any unwanted behavior like that, you want to give a correction just to the point that the dog is unwilling to do it continually. So, like, how do I like to describe this? I like to give a correction just one level higher, if you will, than the dog's willingness to continue doing that behavior. So if the dog gets corrected on I'm talking about e-collars right now. The e-collars I like go from 0 to 100. So on 0, you get no stim whatsoever. Dog feels nothing. You can feel nothing. Nothing's happening whatsoever. But then on 100, like, it's pretty decent. Usually you only get up that high with, like, high-end working dogs or bigger breeds. So with, like, smaller dogs, you rarely ever have to go above 30 for anything, basic obedience or those harsh corrections, which would probably be at a 30 or 35, possibly, depending on the size of the dog and their mentality, kind of just their personal behavior. But I like to give them just a few corrections within 5 minutes, do a couple of repetitions, just kind of enticing them up, and then having other people join in on that. So having someone else go, hey, buddy. And then as soon as they jump up, if they do that time, because, again, I've seen this stopped for almost good within 5 minutes. Just like three or four corrections, very sternly, just one kind of right after each other, just off, reset, and just continue with that. When somebody else does it, they kind of understand because they've heard that command off and given that correction before, they have that association now that every time dad says off or no, you're going to feel uncomfortable until you stop doing what you were doing, which is jumping.
Right.
So with pinch collars, on the other hand, it's the one thing I don't like about pinch collars is you have to put the physical action into you correcting the dog, which I think makes us humans more frustrated because we have to give an action, plus we are trying to give that command at the same time, no, and trying to just deal with that all ourselves. And I know.
Let it go.
Exactly. Let it go. But you have to, like, just calm down real quick because a lot of people in those unwanted situations, they get emotional and frustrated. And all of that transfers right down the leash to your dog. So every time you give a correction, you're having to pull on something or the old yank and crank style. And it's just, it's not good for your relationship. And it works, but it's not the greatest. That's why I'm just a fan of e-collars, because I don't have to make any movement whatsoever. I can entice the dog to jump on me, and then I can literally just click a button and tell the dog off with kind of no change to my behavior whatsoever. I'm not putting a forceful action into it. Hopefully
say hello to my new friend!
No, it's not that one. That's horrible. But, yeah, so it's just giving firm corrections, not letting them get away with it one time, because if you let them get one repetition in, you're probably going to want to get 5-10 more good ones for you, because if you give a dog an inch, they're going to take a mile from you pretty quickly, just like kids. So that's kind of my piece on jumping for you. If you have any other questions, man, definitely let me know.
Right on. Thank you.
I was letting you do your thing. You know, I have not been very good doing the soundboard.
Yeah.
So I wanted to make sure to interact with the soundboard.
You know,
have your fun.
You know, when
bit.
You and I were doing the Beer 30 show.
Yeah.
We were trying to figure out the board, and we would go through all those cute little things in like one show.
Yeah.
I mean, it was so much fun. It was like poke a button.
Things have definitely changed since then, because I believe what we used is a soundboard.
Yeah.
Last time we were doing it off of Sam's, and now
we were doing it off of iPad.
Yeah.
Like the very first iPad ever built.
Right. Well, it's funny because like we don't have it here, but at the house, and I'm waiting for a part, and we'll have it here. But we have a monitor that you touch the monitor, and it plays the soundboard. Smitty has saw it. It just makes it so much easier. But we haven't got it here because you have to have a piece of accessory, and that Wish app takes forever.
Right. Well, it does come from China.
Yeah.
And right now, I don't want to catch that virus.
Yeah, not good.
Oh, God.
Everybody better close down their Amazon accounts until the China thing stops.
Did you see that Facebook meme that says, ladies and gentlemen, because of the coronavirus, they have traded place with Ebola, so it's a corona bottle. And instead of corona, it says Ebola.
Yep.
Have you saw that?
Have you seen the one that says coronavirus? How about Kung Flu?
Yeah, I've seen that one.
I'm like, oh God, here we go.
You know, that's the thing that I do love about Facebook is like those memes and stuff. And I mean, we'll get more into it later, but you know, one of the biggest like commercials during the Super Bowl that they played, and I made a comment on my Facebook, and everybody was laughing. It does not matter what team is playing. Tom Brady just cannot sit out one Super Bowl, can he?
Oh.
Because they had a commercial with him in it.
Really?
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, it's either he's going to be in the Super Bowl or he's going to, you know.
Was he deflating footballs in it? I mean, just curious.
Boom, roasted.
Oh, man.
Tom Brady, if you're listening, please hit me up on my email address. I would still love an autograph, but it has to be a deflated football.
Oh, wow. That's funny.
Sorry.
That's totally fine. Well, I'm going to look here. I don't see
We got any other questions today?
I don't see any questions. So we'll just go to the music break a little bit early.
How much time do we have?
1 minute.
1 minute?
Yeah. You can get 1 minute out of a song.
Yeah, so
I mean, let it go. On to music break. All right,
everyone, we're going to go on a music break. And when we come off of that music break, we'll be heading into the, I believe it's going to, let me make sure before I say, oh, yes. We're going to hit into the what the segment. So whatever you do, stay with us. Don't go away. You're listening to the show that highlights all the nonprofit programs out there. Beyond the VA, you're listening to the H-Train Show.
I'm two-time Super Bowl champion Brandon Stokely, and you are listening to The H-Train.
All right, and we are back. You're listening to the show that highlights all the nonprofit programs out there beyond the VA. You're listening to the H Train Show. And I think it's sounding pretty normal now.
We're good.
Yeah. Yeah. So maybe it was just a song. Maybe it just didn't like Pitbull. I don't know.
But didn't the Super Bowl like Pitbull? Because I heard they had a Pitbull commercial in there.
I did not see.
Oh, boy. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it is that time. Now, this is going to be a real pleasure for you because you've never heard the segment or anything. So, guess what time it is, Smitty?
What time is
it's
it?
It's the What the segment. Oh, hold on. Where is the... Oh, there we go.
Those are cool tats, man.
Oh, for real. Thank you, bro. You see the cobra?
And what is this one?
Oh, this? Uh-huh. That's my credo. No regrets. Mm-hmm.
You have no regrets?
Dad?
No.
Like, not even a single letter?
No way. Not me.
Well, I love him. I think he's great.
Okay.
I think he's a real winner, Casey. If I were you, I wouldn't use protection.
What the?
All right, and we're back. You know, I don't know why, but, like... That came up, but I wasn't hearing the sound, so I had to drop over to Sam to play that so that our listeners at home knew what the Facebook individuals were watching.
Yeah.
So, but that's it's okay. Definitely something that we gotta call our sound engineer for. All right, so. What we want to talk about with the What the segment is, I don't want to talk about the Super Bowl, but what I want to do is talk about the commercials. Some of them were hilarious. You didn't watch the Super Bowl.
No.
So you have no input on the commercials, I'm guessing.
Well, I mean, I did get to see some of the memes that came out of it.
Okay. Okay, and...
I was working as well, so the only commercial I saw was after the fact.
Yeah.
It was the Kyle Carpenter Ragged Old Flag commercial.
Oh, yes.
And I'm not even sure if that played or if that was just like something that they wanted to play but couldn't get on or...
Yes, that's one of the commercials that I thought was pretty hilarious. I can't pronounce his last name, but Aquaman.
Momoa.
Oh, yeah.
Jason Momoa.
Yeah.
There you go. You did it.
Hey. Hello.
Where's the soundbite for a clap?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, we got that.
Oh, here we go.
Nope, not that one.
Well, that's pretty good.
Let's see here. Gosh, that thing's annoying.
Oh my god! No, not that one!
It's exactly.
We'll just keep on going through them, you know?
Why
eventually
not?
We'll find it.
You know, I heard on my way in here that the Google commercial was actually one of the best. But the thing that scares, like, a lot of people is how much Google is actually paying attention to you.
Yeah.
It's like they're talking about somebody that passed away. And then Google's like, oh, yeah.
It's good.
Oh.
Talking about the person because you were, you know, all the things you've put on Google. And
right.
Google's paying attention to everything. It's like, dude, get out of my life.
Are you talking about everything. Like the Google Remember This Memory?
Yeah, exactly.
Commercial. You know, that was kind of a sad one.
Yeah, but people were saying it was creepy because it actually knew about all this stuff, like the flowers that the girl liked, you know, and all the sacred moments between them. It's like, that's kind of creepy.
Well, listen, you know,
algorithms.
Yeah.
If anybody ever says that it's always listening, I can tell you that it's not always listening, because I hooked up an Amazon Fire to my TV, and half the time that thing won't turn on when I say turn on. So it's not always listening.
Maybe you just messed up.
That could be too.
I don't want anything always listening. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
I'm going to listen to Edward Snowden. He says everything is always listening.
Yeah,
so I kind of believe him.
Yeah, I kind of do too. I'm kind of freaked out about what people and things are listening to nowadays.
Yep.
So what other commercials did you find that was kind of entertaining? Because I can tell you that the funniest commercial that I liked, and it wasn't just one time, like the commercial, it was happening a bunch. It was like going through, like it went all through the game, the stain. You know, you don't have to get that stain out now because Tide will take it out later.
Oh well.
I thought that was pretty. I thought it was pretty good. You know, here he is. You know, well, what exactly is later? And then, like, you know, halftime or whatever, they come back. He's old and stuff. You know, but you wouldn't find it hilarious if you missed like the first commercial. You know, and I know that there's a lot of commercials out there. Like that, like you'll see the whole commercial, and then later on they cut it.
Mm-hmm.
For a good example would be the State Farm commercial. Back a long time ago, you know, it has a guy talking and stuff, the insurance, and then the woman comes in. Who are you talking to at 3 a.m? You know, Jake from State Farm. Oh yeah. Jake, what are you wearing? You know, kind of thing.
Khakis.
And it showed the full one. And Eminem commercial, that's also in the same category. It would show the full one. But then after so many times somebody sees it, they, like, cut it down. Yeah. And I think they cut it down because I think the commercial, Amanda would have to tell us. But I think a commercial in Super Bowl this year is going for 30 seconds for $46 billion.
Sheesh. Billion?
Billion.
I'm not sure about that.
Well,
maybe million. Well, I could see million.
Yeah. Yeah. Bloomberg commercial went for $10
million. Well, you guys keep talking. I'm gonna research.
Yeah. I could definitely see political commercials going for very high dollar.
Oh, it was $6 million.
Jeez. $6 million commercial
for dog. Wow.
Yeah. Oh, I missed the puppy.
This is
bowl.
Our producer telling us this. Oh. Nice. Okay. $6 million for a commercial. I'm sorry, but when you're spending that kind of money, you ought to be spending it towards maybe like homelessness, because right. That's an issue.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just saying.
Yep.
Like,
been there, done that twice.
Yeah, exactly. Like.
Yeah, because this article dated February 2nd from Showbiz Cheat Sheet. I didn't hear what you guys are coming up with.
Yeah,
with Amanda, but this one says. It's $186,666 per second of airtime.
Wow.
And that's not including how much it costs them to make the commercial.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Probably about the same for 1 second of playtime.
Yeah.
I could see that. $100,000 production.
Yeah. Hey, just saying, you know, I'm going to put this out there for all these rich people doing that. You can spend your money way better by doing something other than a commercial for a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Well, in playing devil's advocate, I think, though, if that commercial costs $6 million and I could see the, like, the big brand corporations being like, oh, let's try to, or some newer company coming up trying to, like, broadcast their product to, how many people watch the Super Bowl?
Oh, like, millions over that, you know?
Like, it'd be interesting to find out how many watch it, because then they have, they just spent $6 million on 50 million people, let's say.
Yeah. And you make a dollar out of each of them?
Yeah.
Well, you know, a lot of people, like, especially last year, and they was bringing it up this year, like, some veteran groups was trying to get a commercial with the whole, you know, standing thing. And my you know, there's a lot of people upset, but my reaction is, hold up. If you can spend that amount of money getting a message out in the Super Bowl, then why do we have 22 suicides right now going along with our veterans?
Exactly.
That was my thinking, you know? What's the biggest reason why veterans get in that category of committing suicide? It's because they feel that life has, you know, just slapped you down, you know, punched you. You can't get up. All right?
You have nothing left. Like, there's no worth for you. Right. But in all honesty, I mean, you know, looking back at what we've done in the years past, you know, our biggest thing is helping veterans understand that there's more to and beyond the system.
Right.
You know, and if more veterans, like if you look at 22 a day and stuff like that, you know, they're actually going out there making a difference, helping each other.
Right.
And I think that's where we're going to have to go with that, you know?
Definitely.
No, I totally agree. Me and Smitty knows somebody mutual, you know, that is having a hard time on his luck. And, you know, I don't mean to offend anybody, but if you don't have a visible injury or a very, very high rating with the VA and you have no job, you have no vehicle, you really don't have a place to live.
Yeah.
What is there to do? You know,
not
it's
much.
Like I'm about ready to give up. Life keeps punching me, and I'm done with it. You know.
Yeah.
Yep. Been there.
But,
a couple of times.
But then we have this nonprofit that's going to spend that much money
for
have
a commercial.
Just reminding people to stand up. Let me tell you something, okay? Commercials are like political posts on Facebook. It does not matter if you post it or run a commercial. You're not going to magically change people's minds. They either going to do it or they're not going to do it. So instead of trying to make this big fiasco about what you need to do with the flag, put that money towards helping some veterans.
Yeah.
You know, they can sit there and say, well, you know, we're doing this because we're creating awareness. Bull crap. You're creating that so that your name gets out there.
Exactly.
Well, creating profit.
I'll tell you this right now. And, you know, I'm a lifetime member of the VFW, so I feel that I can say this, okay? But VFW, if you want young people to attend your VFW and get involved with the VFW, then quit looking for us when it's coming to membership dues and start a relationship with us.
Yeah, I totally agree.
I've seen and heard that a lot.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of the newer generations aren't going to the VA or the VFW because the younger generation feels like it's an old guys club now, and they haven't been, or I don't want to single anybody out, because I don't think it's any one person's fault, but there's some kind of a disconnect there to where the older veterans and the younger veterans aren't kind of coming together, because a lot of people, like, I've heard, like, famous veterans come out and be like, the VFW is outdated. We have to update things, and the way everything is played, because it can be a great organization again, but it just hasn't been updated, I feel like.
No.
And that's an issue. I mean, we have a lot has changed since those days, since the old days. So I think it needs a fresh update for modern times.
Yeah, you know, it's that perfect thing that, you know, the VFW wants to do stuff for the young people to show up on, you know, those special days like 9/11, Memorial Day, Veterans Day, and stuff like that. You know, they want us to show up on those, but they don't want to change their ways on how they're doing it. Yeah. And it has nothing to do with the officers of the VFW post.
No.
I don't think it's that. I think what it has to do is those people that are in the front office of the VFW that are making their $100,000 a year or whatever, and they're pushing this guy, hey, membership dues,
chain gang.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah. I mean, if like,
beat them until they're motivated.
5-10 years ago, they could have built their own brand of alcohol, and then bam, you wouldn't have to worry about membership dues.
Yeah, create your own brand of whiskey.
Yeah,
like other veterans have done.
Exactly,
like Lead Slingers, like they're killing it right now.
They're killing it.
And there's another bourbon that just came out, America Bourbon, I think it's called. Like, there's a bunch of different veteran-owned brands coming out. Even like if they would have done coffee back in the day, they would have killed it on coffee. Like,
with how much coffee I drink, guaranteed you're making $100,000 off of me.
Have you guys ever heard of the Black Rifle Coffee story?
Yep.
Yeah,
like how they got started. Like, I think that little segment that they put out was so cool. How those guys got started. Like, they were doing it for the Article 15 clothing brand, and then Evan Hafer got contacted them, and they're like, "Hey, can you sell my coffee for it was some kind of event or holiday or some kind of a special occasion to where they sold the coffee just because of like what they were trying to get across for that day." And yep, Matt Best, Jared Taylor, and Evan
Hafer.
We gotta
wrap it up. We gotta go. Break y'all.
All right.
Yeah. Keep on.
But, yeah, I mean, if the VFW would have went something to that extent, you know, build something that's going to make you money and profit from that, you're not going to worry about dues so much.
Right.
And that's what's killing a lot of our mojo is that right there.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, all right.
Okay, well, I didn't mean to cut you guys off, but we're hitting the time. We're going to go on a music break, and when we come back off that music break, we'll be hitting the interview of the week with Master Sergeant Bateson, Southern Crescent Veteran Services. So whatever you do, stay with us, don't go away. You're listening to the highlights, all the nonprofit programs out there beyond the VA. You're listening to the VA Talk Show.
I'm a 3-time gold medalist. My name is Elena Nichols, and you're listening to the H-Train Show.
All right, everybody, welcome back. You're listening to the show that highlights all the nonprofit programs out there beyond the VA. You're listening to the H-Train Show, and today we got a special guest. Now, I tell you, one thing that we've been trying to do here lately is we've been trying to get nonprofits in different states. Now, if you didn't already know, let me just go ahead and remind everybody that on mbradio.us, that's mikebravoradio.us, we have a resource page, and you go through that resource page, you pick the state that you live in, and those services are there to help you as veterans and for the community to know that these services, these nonprofits that are on the resource page, they make less than $85,000 a year in admin costs. So those are the ones that are focused on our military and their families. and not so much the checkbook. So when you get a chance, go ahead and go over there and review. And if there's not a nonprofit on that page, well, then you notify your nonprofit that you know of so that we can get them on the show, of course, after we investigate them. Ladies and gentlemen, on the line with me today, we have Southern Crescent Veterans Service Incorporated. Her name is Master Sergeant Baisden, and do not think that I didn't ask her like 20 times if that's how I pronounce it, because we all know how H-Train pronounces things wrong sometimes. So without further ado, Master Sergeant, thank you so much for being on the show. I really appreciate it. I'm excited to talk to you about this great organization that you are a part of.
Well, thank you, H-Train. I appreciate for you allowing us to be spotlighted on your radio show.
So I got to ask, since I just said Master Sergeant, now are you still, you're retired now, correct?
Yes, I am. Thank God. I retired 1 November of 2016.
Woo! And how many years did you do, Master Sergeant?
I gave them 30 years, 6 months, and one day. Woo! Almost all my life.
Now, you're going to have to work on the seconds and the hours and the minutes. I mean, that was perfect. You were spot on, told me exactly how long that you've been in the military. You got to add the seconds and hours and minutes, and then they'll be like, okay, was you counting the time?
Yes, I was.
So,
but my family and friends said it would be tedious if I go that route.
So, Master Sergeant, tell us, what inspired you to start this nonprofit, or if you didn't start it, what inspired you to get involved with it?
Well, I didn't start it. The organization itself was actually started by Lieutenant Colonel Keith Horton, who is also a retired Army veteran. And while he was on the campaign train, he was running for a local office here in the state of Georgia. He didn't win. But majority of the people that he was running into were veterans, because he attracted veterans because he was one. And they kept saying, in my area, which is Clayton County of Georgia, there's not enough nonprofit organizations that's actually doing things to help vets. And I found that to be a little bit odd, because at that time I was living in Clayton County. But when I did my research, I found out that statement was true, because all the programs that I was involved with were with organizations that were in North Fulton County or Southwest Atlanta, and not Clayton County per se. So after taking a 3-year break to help raise my granddaughter, he approached me and said that I got too many hats on and I can't do everything. Would you consider coming on board to help me get the nonprofit off the ground? And I said yes, because I know the struggles that I went through myself as a disabled vet in regards to trying to get my benefit through the VA. And it was a nightmare. So I can only imagine some of the things that the vets that's coming behind me would have to go through, and then not having that help.
That's awesome. That's awesome that you guys are doing that there. I just shared a post on my Facebook wall just a few minutes ago about a veteran that was outside the I guess the VA hospital. It almost looked like a courthouse, but here in Colorado Springs, the veteran had a gun, and he was asking the police to shoot him, and they were like, no, you know, let me get you help. This is not the right way to do it, you know, and just went on. And I hope that post goes viral, because, you know, I don't think people understand that there's such a need out there. You know, you have a lot of people coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan. They have these visible injuries, and they're getting help. But the non-visible injuries, it's almost like it's a persistent struggle. And
yeah,
people need to realize that, to understand that. And what you guys are doing, it sounds like you guys are helping out. Can you tell us about some of the programs that you, now this this program, this nonprofit is in Georgia, correct?
That's correct. We in Clayton County, which is Jonesboro, Forest Park, Morrow, and Ellenwood and Rex area.
Okay.
But the areas in regards to the counties that we service, we extended out to surrounding areas that connect to us. So we take care of Clayton County, Fayette County, Henry County, South DeKalb, and South Fulton counties in regards to serving vets.
That's,
and all of our services is free to the vets and their families.
That's great. That's great.
No cost at all.
So tell us a little bit about the programs that you offer. What do you guys do?
Well, we assist those veterans who are like the Korean War vets or the Vietnam vets or the World War II vets who are now starting to realize that even though they don't have PTSD, they do have some form of mental illness, but it's hard for them to prove. So what we try to do is to assist them with obtaining their medical records from whatever branch that they served. And if they're still in contact with some of their battle buddies, to try to help them with lay statements. But we do things from VA claims, help them make appointments, collect evidence, try to put on some educational classes in regards to some of the signs that we try to educate their significant others or their spouses or their family members to look out for with the veterans that are coming back from the Iraq and Afghanistan war. We also do things like annual Easter egg hunts, toys for tots, holiday meal boxes, clothing closets, shoe drives, and things of that nature to assist veterans and their families.
Wow, you guys are pretty much like an all-stop shop then.
We try to be, because the need is here, but the organizations in regards to your traditional VSOs, they're there, but they're outdated in regards to some of the things that the current veterans are looking to do. So we're trying to be that new era of a veteran service organization with some of the platforms and programs that the traditional VSO offers, but expand that a little bit out to make sure that we include family.
And you know what, Master Sergeant, and you're exactly right. I don't know if I would go out on a limb and say outdated, but there are a lot of veterans out there that need help, and finding a good veteran service officer, it's hard. Especially here in Colorado, it's really hard. We used to have one that was like really, really good. He was doing it for like 35 years. He's retired, and now it's just it's really hard, because sometimes when you fill out that form to get VA benefits, sometimes it takes somebody that just that right thing to write it up. You know, for them to, because if they don't write it up the right way, it'll get denied. And if they write it up the right way, they'll accept it.
If they'll get denied.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because even if you write it up the right way, it's still the responsibility of the intake people at your local VA to review it. Because
right.
When I first put in my package, it was done through the Wounded Warrior Transition Battalion at Fort Gordon, Georgia. They did everything for me, but I still came out with 20% on the DOD side and 40% on the VA side. Mm-hmm. Now, that was experts doing my package, and nothing in my package changed from the time that I came out in 2016 into the time I got my increase that I did myself at, to get 100%, mm-hmm. other than me hire an attorney to push the paperwork through. once I hired an attorney, they saw an attorney was on the case, everything went through with no hiccups. But me and the Wounded Warrior Transition Battalion doing it, I got the lowest rating ever.
Wow. That's incredible. That's incredible. So now we know that you're based in Georgia. Do you guys ever reach out and help other veterans in other states, or do you guys only have the capabilities of doing it there in the regional area?
I'm glad that you asked that question. We are the only organization that I know of at this point that is a veteran service organization without restrictions, limitations, and borders. We say, and we pride ourselves in regards to helping any vet We don't care if you serve back in Timbuktu at a current date. You bring us a DD-214 or an NGB-22 showing that you served. And some of the ones that we're helping are ones that have been discharged with conditions other than honorable conditions. And that's kind of heartbreaking to me because those are the ones that actually have PTSD or TBI or anxiety or depression. And they got out because their command didn't recognize those symptoms. Well, they kicked them out.
Right.
Well, that cuts them off from any benefits at all.
No, you're exactly right.
And we just
right.
recently helped a vet in New Mexico.
Wow. No, you're exactly right. In fact, I've got a couple interns here in Colorado that I'm trying to help, and it's just it's very hard finding the right program. Because most programs, and this is going to set up you for the next question, most programs, they deal with veterans that have like a high percentage with the VA. You know, the 30%, 40%, 50%. There's very seldom programs like if the veteran maybe is like 10% with the VA but needs help. There's very seldom programs out there that will help them. So to qualify for your program, it's starting to, kind of paint the picture for my listeners, but it's starting to sound like you guys do it for all veterans. You don't have to have a certain percentage for you guys to kick in and help them.
That's correct. You just need to have your DD-214 or NGB-22.
Okay.
And we'll go from there.
Outstanding. Now, at this point, is there any do you guys have a website or social media platforms that you can go ahead and shout out to our listeners so that some of them maybe they want to help out, maybe they want to volunteer, maybe they want to donate. Can you share with us? Some of the ways that they can get involved, that they can get in contact with you guys.
Yes, we do have social media platform. We have Facebook, which is Southern Crescent Veterans Services Incorporated. We also have Twitter, which is Southern CSVS, or the Twitter handle. And then we also have a website, which is www.southerncrescentveteran, with no S, services with the S, inc.org. And our telephone number is area code 678-210-1911.
Awesome. And Master Sergeant, I know that you did some time, and I'm guessing it was the Army, correct?
Yes, all 30 years, 6 months, and one day was married to the United States Army.
So how long have you been with Southern Crescent Veteran Services?
It will be 1 year come March of this year.
So do you have any interesting stories that maybe it might make our listeners kind of think? Maybe a story that has really stuck with you, like, you know, you're all tired and then you just think back about, you know, either the past helping a veteran and you're like, it just drives you more to help that veteran the next day.
Yes, I have a lot of stories, especially since I'm also helping the vets with their claims and collecting information. But we also are trying to help vets who are with families and they fall on hard times. And during the months of October until the months of January, February, we know that's when the most financial hardship comes in any family, be it military or civilian-wise, and people fall behind on their utility bills. Well, there was one vet that was down in southern Georgia. I can't mention his name. I can just give you a location.
That's okay.
And he said he had reached out to the traditional veteran service organization like the American Legion, the VFW. All of them turned them down, and I said, that can't be because that's what they're there for, and they have more money than our organization. So I personally called the ones that surround his zip code, and he was absolutely correct. They have the funds, but they can't help because he is not a member. Mm-hmm. And that's the difference between our organization and theirs. Now, because everything is so political, they want the person that they assist to be actually a member on paper so they can have those numbers when they go to Washington, D.C. Mm. Back when I first became a paid-up life member, for most of them, the traditional organizations like your American Legion, your DAV, your VFW, your MVETS, your AUSA organizations, there was at 2.3 or 2.5 million vets. But the vets that's coming out of Afghanistan and Iraq, they don't want to be a part of those organizations. So they go into organizations like MINES, Team Red, White, and Blue, the Marcus Foundation, Wound Warrior Project, because there is no membership required, and they get to have to do some of the things that they want to do with their families. So that was heartbreaking, and that's another reason why I paved the streets every day, did online with social media to try to get people to understand that without us taking care of the vets and their needs, then we're going to have more than 22 a day.
Right. No, you're exactly right, you know, and it's funny that you bring that up with the membership thing, because I'm not going to mention what organization it was, but I went to this organization meeting, and, you know, they're there with their hats, and they're there, you know, really hammering the gablet. Hey, we need memberships. We need memberships. And I stood up and I'm like, you know, if you guys would establish a relationship and get to know these people, then these young guys would be more inclined to join your organization. But, you know, they're just a membership number to you. You don't care what they're going through. You know, and he's like, we care. We just, hey, look, we thrive on memberships because, you know, we got to put food on the table as well. And I'm like, okay. And that right there is the reason why your organization is dying out and you guys don't have the young bloods coming in, because you guys are worried about the money and not so much the relationship. Heck, I don't think I would be a part of any business that just cared about the deal and they didn't establish some kind of networking or some kind of relationship with me.
I agree.
So, well, I tell you what, Master Sergeant, it is that time. It is your time to shine. Master Sergeant, maybe I didn't ask you the right question or set you up for the right answer. And there's other things that you want to tell my listeners. You want to tell those veterans out there as well. This is your two-minute platform to say whatever you would like to say that you would like to add to this interview.
Okay. Yes, my name is Master Sergeant Bazin. I did 30 years, 6 months, and one day. And I just want to let my fellow veterans and their family and friends know that you're not alone. Please reach out to Southern Crescent Veterans Services Incorporated. We don't care what the need is. If we don't have the resources, we will put you in contact with the right entity, because we are about taking care of the veteran and their families. There is no way that we should be enduring a high number of suicides, nor the epidemic of veterans being homeless. So please, never give up. Know that you're not alone. Contact Master Sergeant Bazin. I'm here for you.
Awesome. Master Sergeant, wait on the line with me. I want to talk to you a little bit on the other side. If you missed this interview, you can check it out on the podcast that comes on right after the show ends. Once again, we have been talking with Southern Crescent Veterans Services Incorporated with Master Sergeant Bates. All right, everybody. We're going to go from there right to that time. It is tribute to the troops.
Custom quality furnishings and gifts with attitude.
This is an MBR moment of heroism.
Sir, I don't know how to tell this story.
Well, you got to, Joe. You tell the American people what these men did here. You tell them how my troopers died.
Our tribute to troops is Miguel Villalon of Aurora, Illinois. He was killed in a roadside bomb in Afghanistan's Kandahar province on January 11, 2020. He was killed when the vehicle he was traveling in struck an IED. He was 21 years old. He leaves behind his mother, Olivia Guzman Villalon.
All right, everybody, we're going to go on a music break. And when we come off that music break, it's that time we're going to hit the 2-minute warning, so stay with us, don't go away. You're listening to the show that highlights all the nonprofit programs out there beyond the VA. You're listening to the H-Train Show. Okay, and we are back, and Spinny looks at me, and he's like, hey, dude, aren't we at that time? And I'm like, oh, yeah, we are! DJ, kick that music! So, we are at that 2-minute warning, and it is that time!
5, 4, 3, 2, 1 Ignition, strap in.
It's the 2-minute warning.
2-minute warning.
What we learned today.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
Sponsored by Common Ground Golf Course in Colorado, a place for all and all the game teaches.
All right, real quick, 2-minute warning. What did you learn today?
Super Bowl commercials are ridiculously expensive, and they should spend the money on other things.
Right. What did you learn today?
You know, yeah, they should definitely be spending their money on something a hell of a lot better than some football commercial.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the biggest take from this, bro.
What I learned today is I learned that we're such a great show that we get blocked by UMG, but yet we're still going live on YouTube, Twitch, and Twitter.
Little hiccup.
Yeah.
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 We'll
with that being said, everybody, it is time for us to get out of here. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for listening. That's the show for today, everyone, and thank you for listening. We'll be back next week with an all-new show. Remember, you can listen to us again and again. The podcast of this radio show is available right after we get off the air tonight. And remember, we're here for you, not for us. Give me your veterans a voice! Have a good one, everybody! Bye-bye!